You're listening to The Art of Daily Practice, and this session is going to be about what practice should feel like if you're doing it correctly. Now, all of us have limited time and limited energy on a given day, and while practice is never going to be quite as fast or as easy as we'd like, centuries of musical tradition and modern research have revealed how we can spend our limited practice time as effectively as possible. Now, the best way to approach the topic of effective practice might be to first look at some things that are not effective. So here are three common practice mistakes that can stunt your growth pretty seriously. Now, first of all, noodling is not practice. And when I say noodling, I mean just kind of playing aimlessly. Too often when we pick up our instruments, our hands just automatically begin to carry out ingrained habits. They spit out pieces of music and fragments of solos and so on. So I suggest something a little different. Next time you sit down with your instrument, take a minute to play absolutely nothing. Just sit with your instrument and take in the silence for a moment. And then think consciously about what you want to play first or what you're about to start working on. Too often, we start a conversation with our instrument on a bad foot by just picking it up and making some meaningless kind of rambling sounds. Get used to taking up your instrument with a sense of purpose. And remember that playing these little fragments of things you already know how to play, that's not actually practice. Practice is all about taking on things that you can't play very well yet. A second tip is, if you're not correcting your mistake, it's not effective practice. Practice should not be impossibly hard, but it shouldn't be too easy either. It should stretch you. It should feel effortful. If you're working on material where you regularly make mistakes, that's actually a very good sign. It means that you're taking on something that's just a little bit beyond your reach. Mistakes are a totally natural result of attempting new things, but that doesn't mean you should continue to make the same mistakes forever. Practice really isn't practice unless you watch yourself closely for mistakes and correct them. Mastery in any craft requires making little mistakes, then making little adjustments and corrections over months and years, so you have these little incremental improvements. If you don't pay attention to your small errors and correct them, you don't make progress and your skills stagnate. The third form of practice that is not very effective is any kind of practice that involves multitasking with other things. So when you attempt to do more than one thing at once, both things tend to suffer. They'll both take a lot longer, and your results in either one won't be all that good. So when you practice, please make sure you focus entirely on practice for the duration of your session. When you find yourself getting fidgety, go ahead and take a break and get entirely away from practice for a few minutes, and then come back. If you've got one eye on your smartphone to read incoming texts during practice, you waste a lot of mental energy switching rapidly between texting mode and practice mode, with the end result that your text conversation is going to be distracted, and your practice is going to cost much, much more of your time and energy while giving you worse results. So 20 focused minutes is a lot more powerful than a distracted hour. It makes much more sense to just put in a short, focused session and then just go enjoy yourself wholeheartedly during the other 40 minutes. When you enter your practice space, please do silence your phone and leave it at the door. Eliminate as many distractions as you can. So now that we've covered some practice pitfalls, let's get into what practice should be like. Here are some ways to tell when you're practicing well. Now, the goal of practice is to improve your skills. Ideally, a teacher or an expert in whatever subject you're learning will design your course of study to ensure that you improve. Keep in mind that practice is not meant to be a crowd pleaser. If you remember back in section one, I asked you to find a practice space where no one can hear you. And this is why. You're not here in your practice space to play for anybody else's amusement or approval. You're not here to sound good, and you're not here to worry about proving yourself in any way. You're here to worry about improving yourself, So don't try to prove yourself, try to improve yourself. On any given day, you should be absolutely clear on what you're working on and what you're trying to improve. If you're unclear what your next move is at any given moment, if you're not sure what to study, consult some learning materials, look at a textbook, or talk to a teacher to find your next area of study. The second tip is making improvements depends on accurate feedback. Either by monitoring yourself, recording your practice and then listening back to it, or with the help of a teacher, you want to get some accurate feedback on whether you're doing it right. Practice should also be difficult. It should feel like you're reaching and struggling a bit. So embrace difficult things. And this is kind of an acquired taste. Eventually, you can learn to love challenges. But early on, it can be a little threatening, right? It feels like you're, you know, untalented or something. But really, when you're working on a new concept, you're going to be poor at it at first. And it's practice and repetition that makes you good. So whatever you're practicing should be challenging enough that it requires focused mental effort to get it right. If you're not focused, you're probably not learning. The sensation of mentally stretching can be quite uncomfortable, but it's the kind of discomfort that you do learn to enjoy in time. So keep in mind that whenever something is difficult to do or it's difficult to understand, you're learning. You're going to be stronger because of it. So that's a very good thing. Don't shrink away from opportunities to learn something. And finally, effective practice tends to be quite repetitive. It involves repeatedly focusing your attention on a skill that you need to improve, making small adjustments, investigating possible variations, waiting patiently through lots and lots of iterations and problems and examples. So, you know, in the case of my own course of study, I repeatedly have to break down the notes in dozens of different kinds of chords and write them out as quickly as I can. The goal being that I can eventually list out those notes very quickly mentally and do it so quickly and easily that I can also chart melodies through a chord progression that I've never heard before as I'm hearing it. It's a very tall order, so that requires writing down lots and lots of different chords and all the notes in those chords. Now, here's what to do if a challenge happens to be too tall. At some time or another, you'll likely find that you've handed yourself a challenge that you truly weren't ready for. Maybe it's a certain song that has some really extended techniques that are very difficult. Usually, when you find something nearly impossible, it's either because you need to approach the problem with a new strategy, and a teacher can help you with that, or it's because you're trying to run before you've crawled, meaning that you've taken on something that requires some pre-required skills that you haven't quite nailed down yet. Facing that kind of steep challenge, all you need to do is break the big task down to figure out which skills you'll need to train yourself on. So maybe if you're taking on a song that's way too challenging, maybe the real problem is that you have to backtrack a bit and really focus on reading sheet music notation for a while. What you do is you work on each of the skills individually using a kind of a first you crawl and then you walk and then you run sort of strategy. You really have to focus on the basics sometimes before you move on to more advanced things. So take care of the small details and be patient with the mundane little details of this craft, because you can't expect to run a marathon before you've learned how to tie your shoes properly, right? And likewise, if you want to write beautiful lyrics and pen songs that are memorable, you'll want to learn the basic mechanics of rhyme and song structure and different figures of speech really, really well, so that they come easily to hand when you're actually in the process of writing a lyric. Try to make a habit of really taking a step back while you're practicing and noticing exactly where the trouble is when you're encountering problems. The better you understand the problem, the better your chances of fixing it. And by the way, the problem is almost never personal. It's not a question of talent. It's not a question of whether you're smart enough or that kind of thing. It usually just requires patient, consistent effort. And eventually, impossible things become possible. doubt your methods, doubt your approach, and doubt whether the way you're doing it is correct, but never doubt that you can absolutely find your way past obstacles with the right learning strategies and with patience. That concludes this session. Thanks very much for listening.